irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Facts and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night here on Max and Friends. So just bear with me because, you know, we're all going through this mourning of Joan Rivers. It kind of like was just so out of place and so out of shock that it was like, wow, what's going on? So, you know, it's and we were like had personal friends and the whole thing. So it's a little closer to home. So we're going to have a lovely tribute to Joan Rivers tonight. Plus, we're going to talk about abundance and doing your work. Plus, we're going to talk to an amazing actor from, y'all remember this show, not yet Ronnie, hold it, but y'all remember this show, Dallas. I grew up on Dallas. Remember JR and that big ass Cadillac Eldorado? My collection of Eldorados was because of JR. I had the horns on them and everything. So Dallas is on TNT now. It's an amazing show. I love it. Plus, we have some friends who have been on Max and Friends that are on Dallas. Brenda Strong is on Dallas. Plus, our new friend Antonio Amarillo. He's going to join us in just a moment. And we're going to talk about his big episode tomorrow. Plus, we're going to talk about CSI Miami Days because you all know that Eva LaRue, y'all love Eva LaRue up here on Max and Friends. I get tweets. I spoke to Eva. Send prayers out to Eva, everybody. Her father is in the hospital. I don't know if he's still there or not. I got to call her. But the last time I heard, he was under the weather. So pray for Eva's father and just for the whole family. I know y'all love Eva. Tweet me at Max Tucci. I want to hear from you tonight on what's going on in your life. And is summer, like, really officially over? I don't know. I guess, like, living between, like, L.A. and Florida and all over, it's, like, endless summers. So what are you all doing to wind down your summer? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. I got to let you know we're going to play a great song from Chester C. tonight. And, yeah, I want to know what's going on in your life. But before we get into you all, we got to talk about my next guest because I'm excited to have Antonio here. He has starred in basically everything. He's an amazing actor. He is not shy on television. Y'all have seen him on TV. He's born in Tijuana, Mexico. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how Antonio spent his childhood in an orphanage until moving to San Diego. So I just want to go, like, let's do a flashback. Even though I know it's not Flashback Friday or Throwback Thursday, let's throw back to, and I love this because this is what we're going to play right now, is basically the theme songs from Dallas from the beginning to what it is now. So when we're back after you all hear this amazing intro of Dallas, we're going to have Antonio joining us, Amarillo. So let's just get that amazing, that theme song, because it makes me just like go crazy because I remember it as a child, like JR was coming on. So hit it, Dallas. And when we're back, Antonio. Wasn't that good? That was a throwback, wasn't it? Well, let's welcome Antonio to Max and Friends. Welcome to the show and pull up your mic.
Hi, Max. How are you?
Good. That was a long intro for Dallas, but it's a good theme song. So let's just get right into it. How is life on the set of Dallas?
It's actually a lot of fun. The producers and the cast are really cool, and it's nice hanging out with them. Even when we're not working, just chatting, having a cup of coffee is really fun.
So now you play this character, and you have a big episode coming up tomorrow, Monday, on TNT Dallas. So tell us about the big episode tomorrow, what's going on.
Well, I continue to cause problems for the Ewings. You know, I'm not sure how much I can say and give away of the show, but it's there's a lot of exciting, unexpected things that are going to happen this week and the following week. The cartel's losing their patience with the Ewings, and so they're creating some huge problems for the Ewings and their families.
Uh-oh. So we're going to have to tune in tomorrow to TNT to watch it. How is it working with Judith Light? I absolutely adore her.
She's a joy. She's actually delightful to work with. She's such a pro and so giving and so playful and so willing to try things when something is not working. She's willing to turn it around and try something else. And, you know, someone who's been around for so long and given us so much joy with all the work she's done through all the years and many different shows, to still have that sort of attitude and that sort of, playfulness in her is wonderful. It's great. I really enjoy playing with her.
You know, and now, have you worked with Brenda directly on set with Brenda Strong?
Yes, I have.
Brenda's a friend here. We've had her on Max and Friends, so I just love Brenda. You all have such a good and such a huge cast. You know, we were IMDb-ing the show, and there are a lot of you on the show. And you're like on your, 14th or 15th episode now, right?
I think it's more like 8th or 7th or something like that. But the cast is quite huge, but it makes it exciting that way because there's always a lot going on. If not in this side of town and this other side of town, and then they mingle together, and it just makes the show more exciting.
It does make it exciting. Now, what is so far, can you tell us like any major bloopers that have happened on set with you? Because we have a tweet right now, and someone wants to know, what are like some funny bloopers that happened on set with you?
Well, let's see. Things that I can say that, I know when I was doing the scene with Judith, there's a scene with Judith on my debut on the show. I think it was back in episode 2 of this season. I don't know if people saw it, but me and Judith, we met, her character. And then I was filling her up because I was wondering if she was wire. And then she started filling me up, you know, and I go, wait, no. So they cut that part because, you know, they're not going to show that part on the show. But she started filling me up, and, that's one of the bloopers that happened. And it was funny and at the same time, a little hot.
Real hot to have Judith fill you up. No, it's fun. It's so much fun to be on set. You know, you and I spoke before the show, and we were talking about Eva LaRue because you've been on CSI Miami. So I used to hang out on set there with Eva, and sets are so much fun. So let's talk about CSI Miami because I just love that show. So I remember, actually, that was a good episode you were on because I played it. You know, YouTube is so amazing now. We can find everything in a second. But tell me your experience on CSI Miami.
My experience was awesome on CSI Miami. Again, I've been fortunate to work on some cool shows, and CSI Miami was one of them. Dallas is another one. The cast of CSI Miami was really cool. I mean, Eva LaRue, like you said, Emily Proctor, and then, you know, the star of the show, also Caruso, was really cool. He was really nice to me, even though he doesn't talk a lot. He's very private. Yeah. He stays to himself. But me and him, we talked outside, you know, by the trailer. We were, you know, because we've seen each other before somewhere else, and we remember each other. So we were having a conversation. It was pretty cool. You know, I really enjoyed the experience on that show.
You know, and they have a good craft service. I remember their craft service was really good.
They all do. They all do. They have amazing craft services. You eat so much. It's like you can't possibly stay away from the food because they keep bringing it. You're like, hey, take this stuff away. And it's all good. Shrimp and chicken and beef and fruit, vegetables and pastries.
And
perks. Like,
you know, and the candy and everything. But now let's talk about you've been Meet the Browns, The Mentalist, CSI. You've been like Arrested Development, Dark Blue, Charm, Days of Our Lives, Outlaw. Growing up, did you want to be an actor?
No, I never knew what an actor was. I had no idea what an actor was or did. I didn't watch TV until I think my late teens. I was probably 16 or 15, and somebody showed me the TV, and I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what is that? Okay, that's cool. But it was, I think it was a need that I have as a human being to express myself. Since I didn't get the chance to do so as a child, I eventually found the theater, or the theater found me. In the theater, your differences and your uniqueness is celebrated. So it was a place where I felt embraced and welcomed. And I started learning to express myself through the text of the great playwrights and, you know, the characters I was portraying on the stage. And that's how it started. I never thought it would be my profession as an adult that I would have this life. I really never had these kinds of dreams, you know. For me, it's a profession. It's a job. I didn't dream to be an actor as a child.
So would you say it's a job or a passion? Has it turned into a passion?
I think the passion is the love to express yourself and hear from other people, to listen to other people, to connect with other people, even if it's for 5 minutes and it's through the you know, you're doing a character, you're still connected with that human being. That essence of that human being is sitting right in front of you or standing, and you're sharing that moment, you're sharing your life, you're sharing parts of you, and that is the passion. Now, the other part, it's a job. You know, it's like anything else. It has its requirements, you know, and its skills that you have to, perfect. And then you have to show up and do your job, because if you don't, you wouldn't be doing that job. So it's like any other profession, but it is exciting, the job itself.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk about your childhood, because I'm reading here that you were born in Tijuana, Mexico, and you spent your childhood in an orphanage. Tell us about that.
I was born in Tijuana, Mexico, and I did spend 10 years of my childhood in an orphanage. It was chaotic and kind of strange, but I mean, it was the only thing I knew. Now I can step away as a human being and look at it with a different perspective. And as an actor, it's even a richer perspective. But as a child, it was a strange environment. I mean, to be with lots of kids, and there's no mama and there's no papa. There's just a couple nuns. And it was, I mean, at least I had a place to sleep. They fed me, and they disciplined me. So, you know,
those nuns. Now, have you been back to the orphanage? Is it still there?
You know, the orphanage is still there, and I am, I guess, embarrassed to say that I haven't found the courage within myself to go back. I have not.
No, I can understand.
Visited the orphanage since I left. I want to, but for me, it would be a very difficult experience to see those children and what they're going to go through. And I don't know what I would say to them. That I don't know what I could possibly, I don't know, give them or you know, say to them that I'm afraid to go there.
You know, I think it's beautiful because you're such the hope of what any child has the capability of, any human has the capability to be, and that's to succeed. So it would be a beautiful experience, I think, for them to see someone from there has made it into literally Hollywood, the lights. You're in millions of people's homes. You've had a great career. But I want to talk to you about charity, because, you know, we spoke earlier about Autism Speaks. But before we get into that, you know, there's an organization I work with. Do you come to Florida ever?
When I did Burn Notice, I was there for a week or so, and I do at times go to Florida, yeah.
So next time you're here, let me know, because I work with an organization here called SOS Village, SOS Children's Village. And basically, we're an orphanage here, and we have 72 kids in South Florida. So I do a lot of charity work with them. Eva's helped with them, and so has Emily Proctor. So I would love for you to come and see it and get involved, and maybe that'll be the stepping stone to go back to Mexico.
Most definitely. When I'm in Florida, right. I will reach out, and then we'll do that.
Yeah, we have to talk about that. But let's talk about Autism Speaks, because that's a charity that you told me is one you want to speak about.
Well, I have a little boy who has autism, so that autism to me is very close to home, you know, as it is for a lot of parents. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, and so I'm partial to that organization, the charity, but there's a lot of great ones that I participate in, try to be a part of and help. But Autism Speaks, because my son has autism, you know, they do a lot of great things for parents to teach us to try to understand. And they also help with the children to try to get better and for them to progress in the situation. Autism is such a weird thing because nobody can say what it is, or
right.
There's so many different levels. You know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 100. So, you know, it's just different.
It is. You know, what's really interesting. What's really interesting about, because you know, we just met. So even though we sound like we've known each other for years, we just met. But you know, I work here. I help build a school in South Florida for kids with autism, called the Unicorn Children's Academy. And there's an organization that I work with called Unicorn Children's Village. And you know, there's a whole academy and the Unicorn Foundation. And basically, you know, I love autism. And I love the fact now that kids are called neurodiverse. You know, the label is being lifted because these children thrive. And it's amazing when you watch them grow. And that's what I love about autistic kids, because they're so in tune to their environment. And they're a great lesson in life to learn. So, you know, we've got a lot to talk about after the show, because I would love for you to come and see the school too. There's a lot of connections. But no, your autistic kids and neurodiverse children is really what the coined phrase now is. They are just a joy to have, and they're also, it's a difficulty to have, but there's just such a learning process in being a parent of an autistic child. So you've got such a beautiful blessing in your life to be able to grow with someone who is going to teach you so many things. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. No, they're precious little angels. You know, they need our help, and because, you know, they need to be able to function as adults. I mean, as a child, it's okay because they have the parents and they have a lot of they have the help and assistance by these wonderful organizations. But when they become adults, when they're 18, 19, 20, they're out on their own. And that's when they're going to need the most help, you know, because then they could turn around and end up being homeless. Like a lot of people that are homeless, they have some mental disability, you know, and they're now adults, so nobody's looking out for them.
You know what's so interesting is that before I got involved in working with the Unicorn Foundation, like I would look at some kids who were like unruly and like acting up, and I would be like, oh my God, they're driving me crazy. Their parents need to discipline them. And my friend Sophia, who worked there, she goes, you know how many kids that you don't even, they look normal and they have autism. And then it's like the parents just like want to cry when they're in public because their kid is acting out. But to the outsiders, they just think that it's like an unruly child. So tonight, everyone who's listening, if you see a child out there who's unruly, do not judge, because you do not know what the parents are going through with them. So just walk on by. Because we have the nerve to say, I would do this and this if that were my child. But it's not. So, you know, you never know who has what out there. So just be calm and be happy and walk on by. But let's talk about you, because you're a skilled pianist, bassist, and vocalist. When did music become part of your life?
Music has always been a part of my life since I was a child. I enjoyed listening to it, and then I started sort of kind of, I don't know, trying to learn how to play an instrument and just trying to, it would just give me joy to learn a song, you know, and so I would grab the little keyboard and then little bass and try to play, and I wasn't that great, but it gave me joy to learn. That was my intro to art. Without knowing, that's how I entered into the arts, by learning the music and the same sensibilities I learned from the music, then I was able to transfer into my job as an actor. So it was an easy transition for me. So music, it was great. It gave me much joy when I was a child to listen to it, to learn songs, to even though I wasn't doing it right, whatever, just the act of trying and what music does to a human being is awesome.
That's beautiful. Now, what's up next for you besides tuning in, everybody, to Dallas TNT? What's going on next for you?
There's an independent film that I did with Terrence Howard and Thomas Hayden Church that I think it might be coming out early next year. I don't have all the details, but that's the next project that I have on my shelf. Other than that, it's a theater production in L.A. that we may start doing. I don't know. You know, things change all the time. You know, there's a lot of things up in the air, and then they don't materialize. So it's hard to speak about them.
Absolutely. But when they do materialize, shoot me a text message. We'll have you on. We'll have you promote them. First time your friend, second time your family on Max and Friends. So you're always welcome back to promote whatever you need to promote.
Thank you, Max. I appreciate it.
And so tomorrow night, everyone, check your local listings for Dallas TNT because Antonio is going to have his dramatic episode that's going to be unfolding the next two episodes. So y'all want to stay tuned and watch that. And people can find you on Facebook, right? Where can they find you?
Yes, I have my page, Actor Antonio Jaramillo, on Facebook. And I don't have the Twitter thing yet. I know people keep telling me I have to, but I don't know how, but I will. But for now, the Facebook thing is fine. They can go to my website, AntonioJaramillo.com. There's a link there to the Facebook page. And they can shoot me a message and tell me hello or whatever. You know, tell me that they like me or tell me that I suck. Whatever they want to tell me, it's fine. You know, I invite everything.
Super. I'm going to send you a message there about the two charities that we spoke about. Continue to be inspired and continue to act because we need good actors like you who are humble and cool and willing to share their stories. So thank you so much for being on Max and Friends tonight.
Thank you, Max. I appreciate your time and your interest. And you guys have a wonderful evening. Thank you to your audience. And we'll talk soon.
Super. And tune in to Dallas, everyone, tomorrow. Have a good night, Antonio.
Good night, Max.
So everyone, y'all going to tune into Dallas, right? I love the show on TNT. Plus, you're going to see Antonio. You're going to see my girl, Brenda Strong, and Judith Light. You're going to have fun watching it. If you haven't seen it yet, definitely tune in. Hey, and thanks for your text. If you want to know what episode Antonio was on CSI Miami, just IMDb him. And again, if you want to go to Facebook, it's Antonio, and his last name, Jaramillo, Jaramillo. On Facebook. Okay. Well, we're going to move along because we have just a little bit my girl Lisa Shakian is joining us because we're going to talk about doing your work and living an abundant life. And where do you want to be in your life? But before we go there, I just want to talk about Joan Rivers. We were supposed to do a whole show on her tonight, and I kind of was like, you know what? Let's do it in 6 months. I'm going to be up front and honest with you. There is so much coverage on her, and it's just like, you know, we're all in this Joan flow right now. But in 6 months, in 8 months, when, you know, we forget about people who have passed, it's kind of nice to remember them. And I always love the saying, every time you say their name, their spirit shall live. So there was a moment that Joan Rivers had with Melissa on the We Show. And Joan spoke about death to Melissa. And they caught it on camera. And what I think is so beautiful is that this conversation between a mother and daughter should be had by everyone. Not only a mother and a daughter, but by fathers and sons and mothers and sons. And just the reassurance that, you know what, I love you. We had a great time together on this life. So I want to play that, and we're going to play that in just a moment. And then right after that, we're going to play Chester C's This One's For You. It's a great song. I dedicate it to Joan Rivers. But now I want you to listen to these words that Joan tells Melissa because it is the hard conversation. Remember, we were Ash Beckham on the show, Hard Equals Hard. This is a hard conversation that I think a lot of us are scared to have. So let these words that you hear be an inspiration to you to talk to your loved ones about death. You're listening to Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. And now Joan Rivers and then Chester C. This One's For You. And when we're back, we're going to talk about doing your work on Max and Friends.
So listen, all right. If anything happens, Melissa. No, but I'm no chicken. I've had a great life, had an amazing life. If I died this morning, nobody would say so young. You're a terrific person. Cooper's fine. You're all fine. I've had an amazing life. If it ended right now, amazing life. And you've been wonderful, and we've had a great ride together.
You know, I know you're nervous, and I feel awful about that, but you don't like to feel like people like you or care about you or want you around.
It's not about me. It's about you. And if something happens, things are fine, and life is fine. And life is so much fun. It's one big movie.
I know.
It's too much. There's no it's not my fight. It's easier to turn away. It's too hard, it's not my fault. Don't understand or care to find out. It's easier to turn away. But time leaves us wondering where she went. And I want to change the way she spent. This song's for me.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Chester C. This one's for you, for Joan Rivers. And this is funny because we had that whole clip that we're supposed to play tonight, and then it got stuck, which is just a reminder that the last laugh is always on Joan. But it's true. I love the quote, life is one big movie. And I want to end it with, but we have to do our work. Joan worked her ass off. I'm not kidding. When her husband committed suicide right after, she dedicated her life to work. It was a known fact. She talked about it. 12 books, countless, thousands of hours on television performing, 300 shows, appearances. I mean, tons and tons of work. She did her work, and it was authentic. She never apologized for her truth, for her jokes. She was a comedian, which leads me to tell you tonight, never apologize for your authentic self. It's who you are. That's what I think made her so beautiful and why people loved her, because she was authentic to who she was. It's so weird speaking in past tense. So let's not get emotional, and we're going to move on to help you do your work, because I believe so strongly in my core that we have to do our work to be authentic to who we are, because if one human can do it, we all have the possibility, the capability, the abundant flow to do the work. We have to tap into it, and the best way to do it is to have friends help us along the way. So I'm going to invite one of my dear friends back to Max and Friends tonight, the one and only Lisa. How you doing, my darling?
I'm wonderful, Max. How are you this evening?
Good. I'm doing wonderful. Now, before we talk about the abundant flow of life, let's talk quickly about your fantastic radio show, which I was on and I love.
Thank you. Yes, Enlighten Up Radio. It's a blog talk radio show. It's been a little over a year. International following. Enlighten Up. Basically, your one stop to get tools and information you need to get your week off to a really great start. Standard time.
I love it. And where can we find it?
You can find it on Blog Talk Radio. You could just Google my name, Lisa Sahakian, or N-I-N, Lighten Up, I-N-L-I-G-H-T-E-N, Enlighten Up Radio.
Beautiful. Enlighten Up Radio with Lisa Sahakian. So let's talk tonight, because we're going to spend some time talking about doing our work. What does it mean to do our work? I mean, it just sounds so simple. Got to do our work. But what does it really mean to do our work? And how does it resonate with our purpose?
Well, I believe when we're doing our work to the degree that it affects our purpose, we become the embodiment of the work. We're not so much about telling people that we're doing it. We just are a living, we're walking our talk. We are the change that we want to see in the world. And that's really where I come from. I really do call forth old school est sage warrior type of, you know, calling forth the individual and really helping them just get through their own shadow, even if it's just once, so they can get comfortable. Because, you know, it's always just the shadow that we're, our own shadow that we're hurtling over. And so just to be okay with that and just to continuously know that it's part of the evolution or the involution of life. And I think that people push that away. I'm not talking about living there. I'm just talking about knowing that it's a balance, that it's the yin to the yang, and that when it happens, if we know it's the, when we know it's part of a balance, it becomes less dramatic because we realize it's just part of the natural flow. Do you know what I mean?
You know, it's just part of the flow in doing our work and not giving up and being persistent. I truly believe that. So we're going to get Lisa back on the line. Thank you all for joining Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Hey, if you want to tweet me at Max Tucci, let me know the work that you're doing. What are you doing in your life? Hey, Lisa, I know you're back. It's just the beauty of being in a world of technology where there's so much going on that things get overloaded. And they conk out. And that's like us. It's a beautiful, thank you, universe. That's the lesson, is that like even technology, which is supposed to be perfect, conks out. So how do we refuel ourselves while we're doing our work?
Well, we just become very authentic. Mm-hmm. And authentic, and I don't think that a lot of us are very authentic. I don't think we're encouraged to be that way. And we're kind of, we have this hidden part of ourselves that is really the gift that we're here to be. So when we are authentic, it's a lot, we move through the world much easier because we've embraced ourselves. We are more accepting of ourselves. And so consequently, because we're the living embodiment, then we can accept other people a lot easier. But, you know, to create that community, it's the road less traveled. So it's not a well-populated road, but it's very possible. But, it, you know, the thing that makes it challenging to the persona or the ego is that it's not full of people necessarily, mm-hmm. the way the yeah. So it's a different pace, and it's next level, what I call self-mastery level of living.
It is self-mastery. And you know what I think is so important is when we are authentic, we don't have to apologize for being authentic. You know, it's like there's something that kind of aggravates me is when someone does something, for instance, and the other person, you know, whatever it is, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Don't be sorry. Like, that's okay to be you. Why is it that we found ourselves in a place of apology when we're being authentic? Why do you think that is?
Because we haven't been, our feelings have not been honored, so we apologize for having feelings because feelings are bad. So we're going in not even accepting even where we're coming from. We're apologizing for even having feelings in the first place. So how do people even meet? You know, it's amazing how people even create relationship, because ultimately, yeah, I mean, just, you know, when you think about it, we kind of pull it apart this way. Who's talking to who at this point, you know? It's like this hidden child that's afraid of speaking their needs is speaking to the other child that is feels like it's being corrected or reprimanded or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so who's, you know, what are we really hearing? You know, are we really even hearing each other? So, you know, doing the work just means, you know, going through the motions and finding the tribes. Finding a tribe, you know, seeking people out and asking for help. I think that's really key, Max, is asking for help, because it's quiet, you know, when you get
absolutely.
Still. See, yeah.
You know what? I just want to say real quick, it's you know, when people argue, or even not argue, but let's talk about relationships and doing a work in a relationship, because doing your work can be such involvement in everything in life. It basically is. But in relationship, I just have to let you all know, because I'm hearing it in my head, so I want to share with you. When you are about to get into an argument with your lover, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever, your husband, your wife, whatever you want to call them. Just don't call them partner, because those are for games and business. But your sweetheart, you can see the escalation of argument. So the challenge is not a challenge once it becomes part of a routine. When you say something to them, right. and you feel as if they haven't heard you, ask them, what did you just hear me say? Because I can guarantee you 9 out of 10 times they've heard something completely different than what you've said. So when you can feel that tension building, pull back, say, hold on, what did you hear me say? And then work with that whole vibration of, okay, well, this is what I meant. And then you just open this beautiful, delicious space of conversation as opposed to argument. So always stop, take a breath, pull back, and say, boy, hold on, what did you hear me say? And then y'all can start laughing about it, because what they heard is completely different than what you said. So it's a beautiful exercise. Try that. But moving out of relationship into authenticity, you know, Lisa, we always have that moment when we stand in the mirror and look at ourselves and say, I love you. But are we really being authentic to ourselves? I mean, that's the question. So how, for you, Lisa, did you realize, I'm Lisa, and this is the authentic me? What was your path?
A moment by moment, trial and error, listening to my heart, you know, being, having a lot of courage, having a lot of faith in myself. It really is a hero's journey. It really is a road less traveled. And I think that's when you really know that you're on the right path, because you're really gifted all of a sudden, all of this energy towards this world that you've intended and that you've all of a sudden created. And so you're gifted with all the space and time, and then what do you do with it? You know, it's always another level. It's always, you know, and I think that, I do really think that when we all really get that we never, ever get it perfect, because there's nothing wrong that we're doing in the first place. But when we really get, you know, that we never really get it right, in essence, because there's nothing to fix. It's just life. And when we get that, you know, life, this is life, and this is how it happens, and this is problems, and it's called being a mature emotional adult. And you know, along the road of getting there, it's really vital that we become more gentle with ourselves.
I love the word gentle and kind. Be kind with ourselves.
Yes.
You know, I think it's important to realize, too, we're not broken. You know, I have to tell you, really, is something that drives me cuckoo. When I say, oh, they're broken. They're so broken. Oh, she's broken. We're not broken. And don't accept from anyone that you are broken. Because we're not. We're just in a place of no mistakes, lessons learned. We're learning in life. Every moment, every minute, every second is a learning experience. So we're healing as we grow. We're maturing as we grow. We're loving as we grow. We're being kind as we grow. We're being gentle as we grow. We're growing in this beautiful space of not being broken. We're just a beautiful flower. You know, a lotus grows in the mud. So wherever you feel like you are in this dark, murky, shitty place in life that's muddy, just remember that a lotus grows in the mud. And a lotus is such a beautiful flower. Buddha sits in the lotus. We sit in the lotus. And basically what it means is that we're not broken. We're just experienced life, and we're maturing and growing. And that's, I think, something really important. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely would. Do we have a few moments for me to give a really great tool of
absolutely.
How to do the work better?
Do we?
Okay.
So, all right, everyone, we're going to give you tools on how to do your work. You got it? So get your pens and papers ready. And if you miss any portion, don't worry. You can go to latalkradio.com/max and get the show and hear it and love it and remember it. So give us a really good tip on how to do our work.
This is like one of the best tips on the planet as far as I'm concerned. And we can kind of piggyback it off of what you said before when you're in a relationship and the argument has kind of reached an apex. The energy has shifted to a lot of tension or whatever. And, so everyone, you want to write this down. Games people play, the psychology of human relationships. This is 1970s work. This is, 1964, actually. This is the work. This is basic 101. This information changed the face of psychology. So it is foundational in psychology, and it works. So imagine there are three people in me. There's the adult, the parent, and the child. And then in the other individual in front of me, there's adult, parent, and child. So at any given point in time, Max, at any given point in time, I have to see, where am I coming from? Where am I hearing this other person? Am I hearing them from my child? Am I feeling victimized? Am I hearing them from my adult? Am I judging them? From my parent? Am I judging them? Or am I hearing them from my adult? Bottom line, ideal place to be is in the adult. The adult is the neutral mind. It's the Buddha mind. It's the divine viewing point. When we can stay in our adult and really kind of stay above a situation, kind of watch it like a movie, it becomes much easier to see the games people play. Like, I can see when I'm coming from a child that I will manifest a very authoritarian individual. It's like, oh my goodness. Okay, so that's the game that they play, but look, where am I coming from? I must be coming from a child, and I'm attracting someone who is an authoritarian. So the adult is able to see that as it's happening. Does that make sense?
Oh, I got it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So adult, parent, child, from where am I here? Where am I coming from? I think it's beautiful. And you don't have to have children to be a parent. It just becomes a part of your psychological mind. Think if you have a pet, how would you train your pet? You know, and then it also comes to dedication. Parenting is basically dedication. So if you have a plant, how do you water your plant? How do you treat your plant? And then it goes into animals and children and so on and so forth. But just be in the space of observing and dedicating yourself to something living. I think that's a beautiful thing to go into this week with. Dedicate yourself to something living this week. And make sure you're responsible. So start with a plant, okay, people? Start with a plant. And the plant lives, then get a dog. And if the dog works, then have a child. That's really the order. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they say. A lot of psychologists say people who have challenging with relationships, they'll tell them to start with a plant before they start with even an animal. Start with a rose bush. Let's see if you can grow a rose bush.
Oh,
if you can grow a rose bush, let's move to a dog.
You know what? Even if you can grow a four-leaf clover, or if you can, you know what, an even better challenge. Go buy, what was that, not Mr. Potato Head. What was the plant that grew? You remember? It was that that clay head, and you would like put the seeds on it, and the head would grow.
Chia pet.
Get a chia pet. If your chia pet lives, then move on from there. And I think that's what's so beautiful about life. Just laugh at everything. You know, I just said, Lisa, my show is here on South Florida on WSFL. I have to give it a plug real quick because of time. But everyone, tune in to Eye on the People with Max Tucci, Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. on WSFL, the CW. That's my TV family over there. Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio is my radio family over here. If you want to watch the show because you live in a part of the country where we're not syndicated yet, then go to channel16live.com. Channel, the number one, the number six, live.com. Channel16live.com. You can see five episodes now we have up there. We have three more great, great episodes coming up. Sophie B. Hawkins is one of my favorite episodes. They're all my favorite episodes. They're all my children. But tune into the show Sundays, 11 a.m., on WSFL the CW, I am the People with Max Tucci. But what I said today on the show was that life is easy, we make it hard. And I think that's like the remembrance that, you know what, we're given this beautiful life, and then we start complicating it. Why do we complicate it, Lisa? Because we don't have a chia pet.
No, well, you know why we complicate it. There are these silly biochemical cravings that are in our brain that we think that we're not good enough, and that's usually the basic 101. It's just a childhood wound that needs to be looked at and embraced so it can just be let go of instead of run away from. And, you know, and that's why I always say do the work, because there's a golden nugget there. When you do the work, you find the one nugget that goes, ah, where you can really exhale into. And, you know, until we find that, we're running from ourselves, and it's chasing us to get our attention. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to share the necessity of doing the work. And if anyone ever needs support, they can absolutely get a hold of me in doing some self-mastery coaching.
I love self-mastery coaching. So what we'll do, we'll have you, you're just like family now, so you know that. We're going to have you back on the show. We'll talk about self-mastery. They can always go to your show Sundays on Blog Talk Radio. I love your show. I loved being a guest on your show. And what your show did was inspire me. I really want to do a TEDx, either Boulder or TEDx Boca Talk on what we spoke about on your show, because I think that was a beautiful show. So thank you for having me on your show. I love you for being on my show. And together, we're just going to like help people realize that, you know what? I'm here. And this moment is beautiful. Be the lotus growing in the mud this week, people. That's really a beautiful phrase. I have to do some more plugs before I say goodnight, but Lisa, stay with me 1 second. This week, I'm going to be on the Valder Beebe Show. I love the Valder Beebe Show. So check out Valder Beebe online. And I'm also going to be on Sam in the Morning here on LA Talk Radio. On Wednesday morning, I'm going to be on Sam's show. And then next week, I'm going to be on Good Karma TV. And we're all going to talk about I Am the People with Max Tucci. So tune to that show, tune into all the shows, and just take some time to tune in to you, my friends. So, Lisa, before I let you go, what is a quote that you want to inspire the listeners to with tonight?
May the long time sun shine upon you. May all love surround you. And may the pure light within you guide your way on.
Beautiful. And may it guide you into this week. Have a beautiful night, Lisa. I'm going to call you after the show.
Okay, dear. Thanks, Matt.
Good night.
Have a great
My
one.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, everyone, we're going to wrap this up. Take a little time to love yourself. Take a lot of time to love yourself. And you know what? Take life to the max. Good night. Good karma. I love you all for tuning in. And I think that's a wrap. I love when I could just continue on and on and on, but we have to go. So Sundays is Super Max Sunday because we have I on the Pew with Max Tucci, 11 a.m. in the morning, and Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you missed the show, latalkradio.com/max. Take life to the max. Good night and good karma. I'm your host, Max Tucci, on Max and Friends. Good night.